Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed. We begin at the very brand new Mishnah at the top of Lamed. It's not such a brand new Mishnah, actually. We had it yesterday, and we'll chazer it over today. So on the second line of Lamed, Omed Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Bernard Grosser, Dov Ben Chaim, his son Chaim Curtis Grosser. He's a regular listener to the shear. Shamash Levin Aliyah, Sarah Fuchs, Sarah Bas Ben Zion. All the shams we learn for Shadav Aliyah from our learning. In addition, we of course continue to learn for the safety of all of the hostages that are being held by the Rishoyim, by the terrorists. And Be'ez Hashem, they should come back all safely, and they should come back in health, and Be'ez Hashem quickly. And the Chayalim and the Kochas HaBitochon taking such good care of all of us, they should be successful in all of their endeavors, they should be safe. Those that need a Refuah Shleimah should have one, B'mheira, and Nebuch, those people that are still suffering from their losses, the Korbanos that they've given, Al-Kiddush Hashem, should Be'ez Hashem, Hashem Yinochim. Okay, so we begin the brand new Mishnah, which, as I said, we already had yesterday. Hashofich mayim b'rishus harabim. If a person goes and intentionally pours out water in the rishus harabim, Tav Tosfos points out that this is a little bit different than yesterday's shiur, where we had a Mishnah from Daf Chav Ches, where a person accidentally fell in the rishus harabim and his stuff filled out. Here, Tosfos points out that this difference is that this is done intentionally, the kavana. So Hashofich mayim b'rishus harabim, he intentionally poured his water out into the rishus harabim. And the huzak b'hanachir, somebody else slipped on it, and as we'll see, their clothing got damaged. So in this situation, chayav b'nisko. So the one who poured out the water is chayav to pay for the damages that occurred because he poured this water out into the rishus harabim. Chayav b'nisko. Again, the Gemara will define what exactly nezik we're talking about. Does it mean just the clothing, as the Gemara will say? Does it mean, let's say, for a broken leg? Because that the karka actually caused the broken leg. Okay, now, if somebody were to go and place a thorn or shards of glass into the rishus harabim, the Meiri quotes our Gemara that we're going to have in a few moments to say that it was hidden inside of a wall, and then that wall collapsed. It was dealing with a kosel ra'ua. We'll see more of this in the Gemara. But right now, the general term is that he just hid this coats, this thorn, or these glass shards in the rishus harabim, and somebody got hurt on them. Or, v'hagoder etz gedero b'kotzim. Or, if somebody builds a fence, that is a fence that's made out of thorns and thistles, and he has these coats and these thorns that are into the rishus harabim, and they hurt somebody in the rishus harabim. The god there should not fell rishus harabim, or he has a fence, a stone fence, and it falls down. We'll talk about whether it's dealing here with a kosel ra'ua or a regular strong fence that he brings down, and therefore that has a nafkamina in terms of whether the person is held liable for the very first moment, or it's only when he finds out about it and he has an opportunity to go and remove it, and then he doesn't remove it, he's only liable from that point and on. In any event, in all of these situations that we just brought down, the husku ben achayim, people in the rishus harabim were hurt by them, chayav b'niskon, the owner of this either coats or zchuches, or the fence with coats him, or the stones from the fence that fell down, he is chayav b'niskon. Any damages that he causes, he is chayav for them. Okay, somewhat still enigmatic Mishnah, even though we had it yesterday, and now we'll discuss this. Amar Rav, as we learned yesterday, Rav tells us, Lo Shanu, the Mishnah is talking here about Ela the Nitanfu Caleb Bemaim, talking about his clothing that got ruined. He was wearing a suit, and it got ruined because he slipped on the water. The dirty water ruined the suit, he had to go get it cleaned. Aval hu atzmo patur, but if the person breaks his hip, so then he, the owner of the water who poured it out there, is technically going to be patur. At least midei adam, midei shemaim, as we pointed out already yesterday, he's held responsible. Midei adam, the base thing can't hold him responsible, because karka olam he zakto, because the bottom line is that the ground broke his hip, not the water. So therefore, this is a groma binizokin only, and he's patur midine adam chai midine shemaim. Amalei Rav Huna l'Rav. Rav Huna questions Rav, and he says, wait a second, lo ye'elo kirifsho, why is this any difference in the case of if the person pours water into the rishus harabim and it becomes muddy? Now, the mud is technically what hurts the person when he falls down. So therefore, you should be chayev not only for the clothing, but you should be chayev in this situation as well for the broken hip. So Rav would answer back to Rav Huna, Misavris de lo tamu maya? Are you talking about that the water is collected over there? Rashi says, Shiniskansu v'nasu refesh, that it's all gathered there and it's a big muddy pile and that's what he hurts himself on? No, we're dealing here with the tamu maya. The water has seeped into the ground and it's still slippery, but there is no real mud over there. There's no refesh over there, and therefore you're only chayef for the clothing and you're not chayef for the broken hip. New We learned this yesterday. We had already this in the previous Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches. We learned it 2 days ago, and in yesterday's Shia. Why do we need both cases? As Rashi tells us, we learned that Yechayev for the Kalim, in the case of the person who tripped and his jug broke in the Shusha Rabbim, and the water ruined somebody's clothing, so he said, we're dealing there where he wasn't mafki the water, and therefore Yechayev for the ruining of the clothing. So we learned this already in the Mishnah Chachas. Why are we telling it to us again in the Mishnah on Lamed? V'tarti lomali. So the Gemara says, no, he needed to teach us twice because there are two potential times that you could have the water in the Rishus HaRabim. Chodo b'mos hachama v'chodo b'mos hagishama. One time is when it's during the dry season, when you don't expect water to be there. And the other is when it's the wet season, the rainy season. That's b'mos hagishama in the winter, and b'mos hachama is the summer. And therefore, one might have thought that maybe you're not chayef for both of them. Because in the rainy season, when it's wet and muddy somewhat already there, the rabbis gave you permission to go and pour your water into the Shusha Rabbim. In the summer, dry season, however, when it's not muddy, so the rabbis didn't give you permission. D'tanya, as we learned in the following brisa, kol elu sh'amru poskin bivosehen v'gorfin marosehen. In all those situations where the rabbis gave permission for people to open up their bivosehen, that means their gutters, their sewage, they're allowed to go and pour out their wastewater into the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gorfin Morosein means that they're allowed to clean out the waste that they have in their caves and dump it into the Rishus HaRabim. So in all of these situations where you're allowed to pour water, dirty water, wastewater, whatever type of water it is, into the Rishus HaRabim, so that's only in the rainy season. You're only allowed to do this b'mos hagishamim. However, b'mos hachama ein lahen rishus. In the summer months when it's dry out there, so now you're really causing a real problem, you're not allowed to go pour it out there. U'b'mos hagishamim yesh lahen rishus. But during the rainy season, you have rishus. However, the price says, nevertheless, even though you have rishus, v'afo pi shev rishus, you're doing something with the permission of the Beis Din, nevertheless, in Hiziku, if damage is caused, somebody slips on your sewage water, wastewater that you're pouring out there, even though you have permission, nevertheless, you're held liable. So therefore, that's why we need two Mishnayos. One to tell us in the rainy season, even there, you're going to be chayv. And if you only had one time, then you'd say, it's talking about the dry season, the Yom Sechama. But the rainy season, you wouldn't be chayv. Therefore, you need to tell it to us twice, once for the rainy season and once for the dry season. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hametznia Sekosu Chule, if somebody put out a coat, thorns, or pieces of glass, so then you're chayev. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo shanu ela mafriach. We're dealing here with the thorn fence, so the thorn fence has to be, as we pointed out in yesterday's year, has to be in the Rishus HaRabim. So the thorns are in the Rishus HaRabim. Avol mitzamtim, but if the fence is all within the Rishus HaYochid, it's right up to the end of your border, and the thorns are still in the Rishus HaYochid, that's called mitzamtim. It's exactly within your property, but it doesn't extend into the Rishus HaRabim. So then, if somebody does damage themselves on your thorns, they catch their sweater in your thorns and it rips their sweater, no, you wouldn't be chayev. How come? My time of potter. Why are you potter? So Amar Rav Acha, Berei de Rav Ika, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika said, L'fisha ein darkim shul b'nei adam, l'schache b'ksolam. Because it's not normal for a person to go scratch himself against the wall. So therefore, if this is in the Rishus HaYochid, it's not something that is likely to cause damage. Therefore, if it's not Urche, if it's not likely to cause damage, and it's within your Rishus HaYochid, mitzamtin that was in your Rishus HaYochid, so then you're technically not going to be chayev. So you're only chayev when it's in the Rishus HaRabim. That's what Rabbi Yochanan tells us. The thorns have to actually be in the Rishus HaRabim. The person's not scratching himself. He's walking in the Rishus HaRabim, and he doesn't see that the thorn gets caught in his sweater, and it unravels his sweater, causes a hole in his sweater, so then you'd be chayev. The Brisa says a similar idea. Tana Rabbanu, we learn the following Brisa. Hamatznia kotso sov uschus yosov l'soch koso shchavero. This is with the Meiri want to explain our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about Matzniyas HaKosos, and Schuchas is actually talking about this case that the Brisa brings down. So if somebody goes and puts these damaging items, such as thorns or pieces of glass, inside the wall of his friend, l'soch koso shchavero, and then the owner of that wall comes, doesn't know that there's the kotsim and the schuchas in the wall, and he knocks down his wall, and the coats, the thorns, or the schuchas, or the glass, then goes into the Rishus HaRabim, and those thorns or glass now cause somebody damage, so chayev hamatznia, the one who hid them in the wall, is in fact chayev. Not the owner of the wall, but the one who hid them in the wall, they were his thorns, his glass, and he put them in the wall somehow for safekeeping, but now the wall came down, and these damaging items, the thorn and the glass, initial sarabim. So the owner of the thorns and the glass who hid it over there is chayev, chayev hamatznia. And again, Rav Yochanan comes to qualify this din to a certain extent, just like he did a moment ago with the walls that were made out of thorns, that it was only in the case of mitzamtzim that you're potter, in the case of mafriach that you're chayev. So Rav Yochanan here too, lo shanu ela b'kosel ra'ua. We're only dealing here that the matzniyah is chayev if this was a wall that was about to fall down. It was a wall on its last leg, so to say. And the wall is a rickety wall, and it's going to fall down. So therefore, the person who put the thorn or the glass there should realize, hey, this wall is likely to fall down. My thorn and glass are going to go into the Rishus HaRabim, and they're going to cause damage. So therefore, don't hide it over there. Therefore, in this situation, chayev hamatzniyah. However, Rav Yochanan says, Avo b'kosel bari, if we're dealing over here, this would be the case of mitzamtzein in the previous case. Avo b'kosel bari, if in fact we're dealing over here with a nice, sturdy wall, a healthy wall, so then, hamatzia potter, the person who hit it there, the thorns and the glass, say, listen, I didn't expect this wall to come down. Why should I be chayib? I was putting it in a very good, sturdy wall. So the matzniya is potter in that situation, Rav Yochanan says, but who is chayev? Chayev balakosel. The balakosel is chayev because he should know people may put stuff in his wall, and if he knocks down this perfectly sturdy, healthy wall, so then he should take full blame for it. So in this situation, the balakosel is chayev and not the matzniya. Abba Ravina, Ravina says about this, it's also meris. Oh, what Rav Yochanan is coming to teach us is the following. The similar case, hamachase boro bidolyo shel chaveru. If somebody goes and covers up his bar with the cover. Dolyo, Rashi tells us, is kisui bar shel chavero. So he takes his friend's bar cover, he takes a manhole from his friend, and puts his friend's manhole on top of his hole, on top of his bar, and then the owner of the manhole, Uba Bal Dali, the one who really owns the manhole, comes and says, hey, I need that manhole for my own bar, and do not tell Dolyo, and he takes back the manhole, the cover, the kisui that the friend had taken, his cover, and he uncovers the guy's pit. So chay balabar, and now somebody falls into an animal falls into the original pit. So then the owner of that pit is chayev. Yeah, he could say, I took my friend's cover to cover it up. No, you don't have a right to go take your friend's cover to cover it up. So Ravina says, this is exactly the same din. Of course, says, pshita, of course it's the same din. As you see in Rashi, chay balabar, ki damrinan. Rashi says, this is the exact same din. The Gemara says, this is the exact same din. Kidamino b'matzniya kosesov, dahainu bar, b'kosel, ra'uah, shel chavero. This is the exact case, like with this bar, as with the lousy wall. Because the matzniya is chayiv in that situation, because he should have realized, iboy leili asuki adayte, shezei yitol his doyo. So too there, you should have realized the wall is going to fall down, and your coats or your zchuch is going to fall into Rosh Hashanah. So too there, the person that borrowed the other guy's manhole cover, he borrowed the key, so he should realize that the owner of that key is going to take it back, and his bar is going to be uncovered. So the Gemara says, pshita, this is obvious. Again, as Rashi says, these two cases are exactly the same. Umay Ashmin and Ravina. What is Ravina coming to add to us by telling us this din that we already learned from Rav Yochanan? So I says, no, there's a chiddush over here that Ravina is telling us. Mal detema, I might have said, if you only had the case of the wall, the zchuchas, and the kotzim, Hossam, who, the owner of the wall, the lo havi yodale, he doesn't know who put the thorns and the glass into the wall. The lo day, then he should be able to tell him, hey, listen, I'm about to knock down this wall, so therefore you should take out your thorn and your glass. So he doesn't know who to go and notify. So therefore, he, in that situation, we can understand why you might have thought that he should be chayiv, because he should take it out himself. Abu Hacha, in this situation, the yodale, the one who really owned this manhole cover, the one who owns the kisui, when he takes it back, he says, well, now Yanko's bar is going to be uncovered. I better go tell Yanko that I just took back my kisui, and therefore, Yanko, you better cover up your bar because somebody's going to get hurt in it. So the yodale, he knows, the one who owns the kisui and now is taking it back off Yanko's pit, should have told Yanko, you might have thought. Have a lay low do ye? He should have told him, and therefore, maybe in this situation, the Baal HaBor would not be chayiv. And in fact, the Baal HaKisui should be chayiv. Oh, Gamash Lung. So Ravina is telling us, no, the two cases are analogous even over here. Bottom line is, the Baal HaBor is going to be chayiv. Tana Rabbanan, we have another similar braisa. It says Chasidim Harishonim, the original Chasidim, the very, very righteous people, Hayu Matznim Kotzoseim Uzuchul Siyoseim Besoch Sudoseim. Since these thorns and glass has the terrible potential to damage, so they were very, very careful. So the righteous people, the Chasidim Harishonim, I find many places we refer to the Chasidim Rishonim. We'll see in a moment here. We're going to talk about the Gemara and Brachos. So it also refers to the people, the Chasidim Rishonim, before they would daven, they would learn an hour. Before they would daven, they would prepare an hour. Before they would daven, they would daven for an hour. And then they would learn and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an hour after davening. So the Chasidim Rishonim are people that are especially devout and zealous in their performance of mitzvos. So these Chasidim Rishonim would go and not take any chances that anybody would go and get hurt from their thorns or from their glass. Tosu had pointed out in the previous weeks that I had said, a person has to be even more careful that his property shouldn't damage somebody else than making sure that his property doesn't get damaged. So these Chasidim and Rishonim would go and hide their thorns and their glass in their fields, besoch sudoseim, where nobody else would be going. They would bury them there, umamikin lahem shlosha tfachim, they would bury them three tfachim underneath the ground. Our Gemara, the Bavli here says the reason why they bury them so deep is kedosh lo ya'akev hamachareisha. So therefore, when they're plowing, it won't interfere with their plowing. They bury them deep in the ground, so they only plow the top surface, and therefore the plowing will not be impacted by the buried thorns and glass. Tosos adds in Dibra Maslu shlo ta'akev hamachareisha from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi farish kedosh lo ta'ale hamachareisha. Not only that it shouldn't block the plow or make the plow ineffective, but that by accident, if it's not buried very deep, the plowing could go and bring it up to the surface, and then somebody still could get hurt on the thorns and the glass. So that's how the Chasidim Rishonim used to act. They would be very careful that their property shouldn't cause damage under any other way. Rav Shesha similarly, Shadi Le Benura, he would throw this stuff into the fire and burn it up, so therefore it's disintegrated, it's gone, and can't cause any damage. Similarly, Rava Shadi Luhu Bidiglas, Rava would throw it into the river. Which river? The Diglas, which Rashi tells us is the Chideka, which is one of the major rivers in the Bavel area. In any event, that's where he would throw it there, so this way it would be absolutely not able to cause any harm. Amr Yehuda concludes this discussion with Haiman de Boyle and Nevi Chassid, that the person wishes to be a truly great person. He wants to be a chassid. He wants to be a righteous person. So what should he do? Lekayim mili de nezikin. He should learn the halachos of nezikin, because, as we've mentioned many times, a person has to be very, very careful not to go and damage someone else. So a person who's very careful learning these halachos will be very careful not to damage somebody else. That's the definition of a righteous person. As we just said, the really righteous people will go out of the way to make sure that their property doesn't damage. The Mefarshim bring down other reasons over here why Badafka Nezikin, because when a person says things, Al Tiftach Pelu Satan, and you could cause a lot of damage by just saying things. So if a person is very careful to understand the laws of damages, he'll be very careful not to say anything that could even cause another person damage just by his speaking. Okay, that's the opinion of Yehuda. Now, Rav Amar, not that he disagrees with Yehuda, Rav comes along and says another way. Some of the gears over here, Ravina, says on the side, Mesoros HaShas. And in that, Rav or Ravina says, also, another way that a person can make sure that they're righteous is learning Milei the Avos. They should learn Pirkei Avos. So if a person learns Pirkei Avos, so then a person will learn the proper way to conduct oneself, and one will have tremendous character, and one will have an attitude of being a righteous person, and will become a righteous person. And the Mefarshim should bring down that a righteous person always acts in the proper way. As it says in Pirkei Avos, that if a person says, whatever I have is yours, so then that is a righteous person. As opposed to the person who is not a righteous person, the opposite of that, he says, what you have is mine. So therefore, if a person wishes to really become a righteous person from the Chasidim or Rishonim, so then such a person should learn Pirkei Avos. Alternatively, in addition, the Amrilei, you should learn Milei de Brachos. You should learn Masech de Brachos, because if one realizes that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to make a brach on everything. If you have to constantly daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a person will realize that he's a goyish, he's a nothing, and he will go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a much more righteous fashion. In addition, as I mentioned before, the Mefarshim bring down that we say that the Chasidim or Rishonim would go and learn and meditate for an hour before davening and an hour after davening. So that again is the way a person becomes a righteous person from the Chasidim or Rishonim. So therefore, learning Ezekin, learning all about Pirkei Avos, and learning Brachos, that will help a person to grow and to become Chasidim or Rishonim, a righteous person. Okay. Now we go to the next Mishnah, part of which we had in yesterday's year as well. The beginning we did not have, so this is new. Hamotzi Tivno vikasho. If a person takes his straw in his hay, that's one way to go and translate this. It basically means various types of the growths that are normally animal fodder. And he goes and takes this tivno vikasho, lushus harabim, in order that it should become lizvolim. If people go step on it in lushus harabim, as Rashi says, sheyirkavu hateven viakash, this straw and this hay will become deteriorating in the lushus harabim, v'nasim zevel, and it'll become fertilizer, lezavel sados ukromim, which he can then use to fertilize his field. So they would leave it out there in the public. Everybody would step on it, and the process of stepping on it is the processing in order to make it into fertilizer. So this is a great way to go and make fertilizer. However, it is also now a takala in the Rishus Harabim. So if somebody put out his tevin and kashin to Rishus Harabim in order that it should turn into this fertilizer, the huzak bohen acher, and somebody else then slipped on it and damaged themselves, so chayev benisko. So you would be chayev in this situation. The owner of the tevin, the owner of the kash, would be chayev. Then it also tells us the chol hakodem ben zocha, and anybody who goes and takes this tevin akash has the right to go and take it. So the Gemara will discuss this more, but basically it means that if a person put this out there, the rabbis were not happy that he put it out there, and therefore they gave a knas and said that anybody can go and take it. Later in the shiur today, we'll discuss exactly what does it mean that anybody can go and take it. The chol hakodem ben zocha. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer kol hamikalklin b'yishus harabim. Viziku, anybody he adds on, we'll see what he's exactly adding on. He says, anybody that's makalkin lushus harabim and he causes damages, chayovim l'shalem, he's responsible for the damage that he caused, he'll have to pay for them. And the kol hakodem ben zocha, and anybody that wants to go and take this object that he put out there is allowed to go and take it. Again, the Gemara will discuss exactly what the difference is between these two opinions. Finally, then we conclude this mission with what we did learn in yesterday's year. Ha'hofech esagol lushus harabim. If somebody goes and lifts up with a pitchfork, the golol. Here the golol is really talking about manure. So he goes and takes this manure in the Rishus HaRabim. It was also put out there in order that it should become a better fertilizer by people stepping on it. So then, the huzak ben acher, and somebody does slip on it and gets hurt, chayev nisko. Then you're chayev to pay the damages. Okay, Gemara starts off and tells us the following. Let us assume that our Mishnah doesn't go in accord with the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. What is that? Because the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is as follows. Bishas hotzoa zevolim, during the part of the season where the rabbis gave permission for people to go and put out their zevel, their manure from their animals into the Rishus HaRabim, again, hard for us to understand, but the people would step on it, the animals would step on it, and that would process this manure and make it into a better fertilizer. So a person would be allowed to go and do this. During the Shas, Hotzoah Zvolim, I guess everybody would be aware that this would be done. Ademotzi Ziv Lo Rishus HaRabim, you could take out your zevel, your manure, your waste, and put it into Rishus HaRabim. Vitzovro Kol Shloshim Yom, you could pile it up there for a 30-day period of time. Kidei Shei Nishov Baragli Adam Baragli Behema, in order that it would be processed better by the passers-by, the people and the animals that walk in the Rishus HaRabim, they would step on it, and it would become better fertilizer. Now, why was this allowed? Sha'al-Minas Kein Hilchu Yeshua Es-Aretz. One of the 10 takanas that Yeshua made when they came into Eretz Yisrael in order to facilitate Kiyum Eretz Yisrael and to facilitate the growth of Eretz Yisrael was to allow people to do this, because by having more fertilizer, the land would be better able to go and yield grain and all sorts of produce, and this would be good for everybody. Now, clearly, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do this. So, Mistama, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're not chayiv in this situation for putting your stuff out there. But our Mishnah says you are chayiv if you put this out there. So, therefore, let us say that the Tana of our Mishnah is not in accord with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Gemara says, no, lav dafka, afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana of our Mishnah could even be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Because Moda Rabbi Yehuda, that even Rabbi Yehuda says that while you have permission to bring it out there, Shem Hizik, Mashali Mash Hizik, he would say, no, you have permission to do this, but you're also taking a risk, because if somebody does slip on it, you would be chayiv. So therefore, even the Tana Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of our Mishnah, or could agree with our Mishnah. But the more questions is because we're going to have a Mishnah later in the Masechta on Daf Samach Beis Omid Beis, where it says, V'atnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'ner Chanukah Potter. We had actually learned this earlier in the Masechta as well, but it's really the sugya is discussed on Daf Samach Beis, where it says that if a person goes and causes damages with his Ner Chanukah, so then he's not chayiv. His Ner Chanukah is allowed to be outdoors, and therefore, Potter, if somebody gets damaged with this the flames of the Ner Chanukah, Mipnei Shubur Shus, because he was allowed to go and put it out there with permission. Now, isn't that the same exact case as over here? He was allowed to put out his zevel, and you're telling me that Rav Yehuda says that he's chayiv, but there, The Mishnah tells us, and that's Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah, that says, B'nei Chanukah Yepater, because you put it out with permission. My lav mishum rishus basin. So isn't it because the basin gave you permission to put it out there? That's why you're potter. And therefore, here, the basin gave you permission to put out the zevel, so you should also be potter. So it says, no, there's a difference between the rishus over here to put out your zevel, that's the rishus of basin. But there, the rishus of putting out your Chanukah licht is not the rishus of basin, that's the rishus of the mitzvah. Lo, mishum rishus mitzvah. There you're doing a mitzvah. Not the basin said you can do that. You're a mechoyev to do that. That's a mitzvah. So therefore, in that situation, you're not going to be chayev, because first of all, everybody should know, and everybody else should be careful that you have the Ner Chanukah out there, because they know that this is Chanukah. And therefore, they have to be extra careful. Plus, since you're doing a mitzvah, the din is that you're not going to be chayav for the damages, as opposed to, even though Basin gave you permission to put out your zevel, but Basin said, but if you put it out there and somebody gets hurt, you're going to be chayav for the damage. And I'll show you that this is right, because the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, this beferish, review the Omer, b'ner Chanukah potur, b'nei shehu rishus mitzvah. Oh, the Braisa says, not that it's rishus Basin, but it's rishus mitzvah. So there's a difference between rishus Basin, which is our case of the zevel, which while you have rishus to do it, you're not a bad person, but you're going to be chayav any damages that you cause, as opposed to rishus mitzvah, which is not only you're not a bad person, you're doing a mitzvah, and you're doing everything correctly, and therefore you're held not at all liable, and the other people should be more careful. Toshma, we learn the following braisa, kol elu she'amru mutar lekalka rishus harabim im iziku chayav nashalim. Again, this braisa says the same idea, that any place where we're told that you're allowed to go and do something into the Rishus HaRabim, but if you cause damage by that thing that you did, you're going to be held liable. But here it says, Rabbi Yehuda Poter, wait a second, here it says that Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't have the liability. So this seems to contradict that which we just said, that when you're doing it Rishus based in, so while you have the Rishus to do it, you're going to be held liable. But here, Rabbi Yehuda's Poter. So this seems to be beferish that that's this understanding of Rabbi Yehuda is incorrect. So Rav Nachman says, no, it's not. Omer Rav Nachman, Masnisin Shelo B'Shas Hotzoah Zevolim. This Mishnah, which says that Yehuda is Poter, that's talking about when you had permission to go put it out there, because that was the rainy season, let's say, when you had the right to go and put it out there. But when it says that you're Chayev, our Mishnah says that you're Chayev, that is Rabbi Yehuda, because that's talking about Masnisin Shelo B'Shas Hotzoah Zevolim. Our Mishnah is talking about when it wasn't the time for Hotzoah Zevolim, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says then you are Chayev for the damages. So Rabbi Yehuda, his shita really is as follows. When you have permission to put it out there, so then you're not going to be held liable. But when you don't have permission to put it out there, so then you're going to be held liable. That is Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav Yehuda Shita. Rav Ashi gives us a different terence. Rav Ashi Omar, and we turn to Lamed on the Beis, Rav Ashi says, Tivno v'kasho tanan? That's different. When our Mishnah says, by the Tevin and the Kash, you're chayev, so that is a different story, because Mishum de Misharki, they're much slippier, as the top Rashi tells us. The Bechayev, here, even Rav Yehuda would say Yechayev, even though you have permission, the Adayin Lunasu Zevel, it hasn't yet matured into this fertilizer that you wanted to. And right now, the Koshim Heim, it's harder and it's slippery. Umachlikin behen, and people will much more easily slip on this. The Chi Kamar Rav Yehuda Bezevel Kamar, and Rav Yehuda said that you're allowed to put your Zevel out there, the Motzi Odom Zevalo, Sheino Noach Lahachle Kokach. It's not as slippery. Well, we might naturally have thought that that's even slipperier, but what they're telling us the facts are that the zevel, the manure that you're putting out there, is not as slippery, and therefore, in that situation, you're not held liable. But this tevin and kash, which is much more slippery, so there, even though you may have permission to put it out, you, in fact, are going to be held liable. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, kol hakodem hem zocha, we said that whoever goes and takes this, the rabbis gave a knas over here to somebody put their tevin and kash out there. So the rabbi said in this situation, whoever wants to go and take it can go and take it. I'm a rab. Rab tells us, bein begufon, bein bishwachon. This is true that they're allowed to take it. Not only can they take it and then, let's say it was worth $10 worth tevin and kash, and now when people stepped on it, it's now worth $20. So not only do they take it and they keep the $10 profit from the benefit that the people stepped on it, but even the principal, the $10 worth of tevin and kash, bein begufon, bein mishvachon, Rav says that they're entitled to keep it. So anybody wants to go take it, kol hakodem hem zocha, not only the improvement do they get, but they even get the principal too. So they get the full $20. They don't only get the $10 of improvement, they get the full $20 worth, the principal plus the improvement. That's the way we're going to understand Rav right now. Ben begufon, ben bishvachon. Uziri Omar, Uziri disagrees with Rav, and Ziri says, no, bishvachon, you get the $10 worth of improvement, avalo begufon, but you have to pay the person who owns the tevin and the kash, you have to give him $10 for his principal, and now it's worth $20, that you don't have to give him the extra $10 for. Now, but Michael Mifflin, what do they argue about? So the Gemara says, Rab Savar Konsu Gufa Mishum Shvachar. The rabbis made a knas over here. They didn't want you to do this. So they said, we're going to give you a real knas over here that not only is the Shevach, the improvement, going to be given to you, but even the principle you're allowed to take. Whereas Ziri Savar, No, well, the rabbis didn't want you to do this. They only made the knas on the shevach, on the extra 10 bucks that it improved, but not on the original principle. So that's why we want to understand Rav's statement and the machlokas between Rav and Ziri. More questions as it says, wait a second. We learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, Hahovech Hasagolo, Bishusa Rabim, Behuzak Ben Acher, Chai Ben Isko. We said in our Mishnah that if you're taking a pitchfork and you're turning up this golo, this manure, in the Bishusa Rabim, and now it was there previously, somebody else had put it there, but now you became the owner of it by taking the pitchfork and lifting it up, being hofech es agolo. Now you are chayev in the damages. Now, if you're telling me, v'ilu kol kodim zocha loktani, but it doesn't say over there, whoever acquired it is allowed to go and acquire it. Now, this manure is different than the Tevin and Kash. Tevin and Kash will improve. They'll have Shevach by being stepped upon. The manure doesn't really improve by people stepping on it. Apparently, this is the type of the golo that we're talking about over here. It doesn't improve. Now, it doesn't say that you're allowed to go and take it. So, therefore, this seems to be a raya to Ze'iri, because if there's no improvement, then there's no knas. So therefore, that's why you can't just go and take it. But according to Rav, even though there's no improvement, so why is it there a right? Why does the Mishnah tell us, kol kodim zocha? It doesn't say that, loktani. So why doesn't it? According to Rav, we have a question. Since Rav says, bein beguvin, bein mishvachan, so you should be allowed to go take it, even if it's no improvement. So the Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding Rav. Now we have to re-understand the way we interpreted Rav. Tana l'reisha v'odin l'seifa. In fact, the Reisha and the Sefer both mean over here that he's allowed to go and take it. Kol HaKodim Zocha. And it didn't say it in both because it already said it. Where it says, no, that can't be right. V'otoni Allah, Asur Mishum Gezel. But it said that you're also not allowed to go and take it, that there's an issue of Gezel involved, the Reisha says. So therefore, if there's Gezel involved, this is really a Kasha on Rav. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Kikitani Asurim Mishum Gezel. When it says the words Asurim Mishum Gezel in the Braisa, it's Akulam Asisim Koi. It's actually talking about the entire Mishnah, including the case of the Tevin and the Kash, and as well as the case of the Zevel. So the also Shukadu Zocha, it means that somebody went and took it, so now you're not let us steal it from them. That's what it's referring to. The person who had the right to go and take it, if you now take it from him, so then you're Asurim Mishum Gezel. Where it says, that's very difficult. That's a dochak teretz. But halok tani hachi. It didn't really say that because ditznan. Now, normally ditznan is for a mishnah, and nobody on the side changes this to ditanya. But mistama, there are changes in this gear over here because we're really talking about a brisa. Albeit sometimes we do refer to a brisa with the lashon of ditan. But this really should be ditanya. Hamotzi tivin over kash l'shusar rabim l'zvom. If a person takes out his tevin and kash and he brings it to l'shusar rabim in order to go and turn it into this fertilizer, so it will have a shevach to it. But who's apochen acher? And somebody else gets hurt. Chay benisko. So the Braisa says that you have to pay for the damages. And then it adds the kol hakodem bohen zocha. Anybody that goes and takes it has the right to go and take it. Umutu mishum gezel. And there is no isser of gezel on this, as opposed to vafochek es hagolo l'shus harabim. If somebody takes the golo, which doesn't get improved by the people stepping on it, and he goes and acquires it by, turning it into Rishus HaRabim, and somebody else does go and get hurt, chayiv. In that situation, you would be chayiv for the damages, and for also Bishum Gezel. And likewise, you weren't allowed to go and take this, different than the Tevin and Kash. So you're not allowed to go and take it. So what seems to be going on over here? There seems to be a dichotomy over here in this din, and the way we understand Rav, Ben Meguf and Ben Mishvachim, seems to be wrong. So Gemara says, you're taka right. Amr of Nachum or Yitzchak, Golol Karamis? You're asking us a question from the Tevin and the Kash to the Golol? No. Dover Sheyesh Bo Shevach. Rav's Shita is as follows. In something such as Tevin and Kash, which has a principle and has an improvement, so it has a guf, the principle, and it has a Shevach, the potential to be improved by people stepping on it, so then Rav holds, and only then does Rav hold, Konsu Gufa Mishum Shvacho, that in the situation where there is a potential for Shevach, so then Rav says, we're going to make a knas on the guf as well as the Shevach. But Rav says, Dover She'en Lo Shevach, like the Golo, something which doesn't improve. It was worth $10 before, and it's worth $10 even though everybody steps on it. So it doesn't have this concept of Shevach, then Rav also agrees, lo kansu. In that situation, there is no knas. And therefore, Rav now fits in perfectly well. Our understanding of Rav is bein begufa b'mishvacha is only for something that has shevach, but something which doesn't have potential for shevach, so he agrees in that situation that there is no knas. They asked on this in the Beis Medrash, Ibarlu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, according to Rav, Lidivrei Omer Kansu Gufa Mishum Shvachim, according to the opinion of Rav, that says we only make the Knas if there is a potential for Shevach. So when there's a potential for Shevach, so then we make a Knas on the Shevach as well as on the Guv. So according to this opinion of Rav, what's the halacha? La'alter Kansinan? The minute the Tevin and the Kash, let's say, is put out there, hasn't yet improved 1 cent. Do we say at that moment in time that the knas already kicks in, and since there's the potential for shevach, so somebody's allowed to go and take it, that's the knas that the rabbis instituted, and it's not a problem of gezel? Or do we say, no, l'chim ma'isei shivcha, only when it gets some sort of a benefit, then kansina. So it has to be now, instead of being worth $10, it has to be worth $11. Oh, now that it improved somewhat, so then there is this knas on the guv as well as on the shevach. That's the question they ask in the Beis Medrash. Within the sheet of Rav, what is the halacha? So, Toshma, we'll bring a riot from the following brisa. Miduka Irinon Golol, from the fact that the Gemara specifically gave the case of the Golol as a kasha on Rav. Now, the Golol, as we said, is something that doesn't improve at all. So, therefore, in this situation, the attack on Rav, the question on Rav, must be something that doesn't improve at all. So, therefore, certainly it would even be on something that hasn't improved yet, even though it has the potential for improvement. So therefore, it must be that the assumption is that Rav's din applies even if it hasn't improved yet, there still is a knas on the guf. Or says, who says? No, the Tizra, you really think so? Ki Irene on Golo, we asked the Kasha from Golo, but then we disproved that that opinion is correct. Mikami, the listener of Nachman, Rav Nachman showed us that that's not correct. Lavasa, the Shani Rav Nachman, once Rav Nachman taught us the proper way to understand Rav, so then you no longer have a question for the Golo, Mikol Amirma Golo Klal. So you can't ask us a question on Rav and try to bring a Saraya to Rav Shita if it's something that has the potential to improve but hasn't improved yet. Did the rabbis institute a Knas or not? That's left as an Iboy de lo Ifshita Le. We don't answer that because you can't answer it from the fact that we brought or tried to bring a Raya from Golo because we disproved that Raya. Okay. The Gemara says, let us say this machlok between Rav and Ziri, whether we kansa the guf because of the shevach. Rav says yes, Ziri says no. Let us say this is in fact a machlokas tanoim. Lemo ki tanoi. What is that? Shtar shekosu bo ribis. If a person, of course, is not allowed to lend money with ribis to another yid. So Ruvain lends money with ribis to Shimon. And they write up a document. Here, I'm lending you $100. You're going to pay me back $120 in 2 months. So this shtar shekosu bo ribis, you have a shtar, a document, which is Keneged Halacha. It says that Reuven lends Shimon money. He lent him $100 and he expects to get back $120 in 1 month. So, Shtar Shekosubo Ribis, Konsin Oso, we make a Knas over here on Reuven, the one who lent the money. And not only can he not collect the Ribis, the Eno Govet, Loas HaKaren, the Loas HaRibis, we also don't allow him to collect the principal, the $100 that he lent them. We cancel him and say, not only can't you get 120 back from it, but you can't even get the $100 back from it. That's the opinion of Rav Meir, Divrei Rav Meir. Now, that sounds an awful lot like Rav. But then, the Braisa brings down the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim Amrim, no, you can collect the $100, Govet HaKaren. Just the Ribis you can't collect, of a Loas HaRibis. So, it sounds like this is the opinion of Ziri. So Lema, Rav, the Omek Rav Meir, Rav seems to be holding like Rav Meir, that we can't see you over here, not only on the Shevach, but we can't see you even on the Guf. So we can't see you not only on the Ribis, but we can't see you even on the principal, the $100 that you lent them. And Ziri, the Omek Rabbanan, the Chachamim, they say, no, you can still collect the $100, you just can't collect the Ribis, the $20. That sounds exactly like Ziri. You can't go and take the Tevin and the Kash, but you can go and take the improvement. So let us suggest this is Machlokas Tanoim. Rab holds like Rav Meir, and Ziri holds like the Chachamim. So Rab doesn't want to be pinned in to holding like the Das Yochid of Rav Meir. So Amaloch Rab can tell you, no, I know the Amri Afilu Rabbanan. I work certainly according to Rab Meir, but I also work even according to the opinion of the Chacham, because Ad Kan Lo Kami Rabban Hasam, the rabbis only said their situation in the case of the ribbis, that you can still collect the principal, albeit you can't collect the ribbis, Elo Karen did the Hetera, because there, the $100, that was permissible. So therefore, the rabbi said, you still can collect the Karen, because there was certainly a nice thing to do, to lend the guy $100. The ribbis part was wrong, so they canceled the ribbis part. You can't collect the ribbis, obviously, with this document, but the principal, you still can. Aval Hacha, in the situation, putting out the Tevin in the Kash, you know what? The Chacham would agree with me, Rav says. Karen Gufo Kamazik. Here, the original item, the tevet and the kash, they themselves are causing damage. Not only when they get improved, they themselves are causing damage. And therefore, you know what? The Chacham would agree with me that the tevet and the kash, they're themselves damagers. And therefore, the knas goes on them as well. So therefore, Rav would tell you that the Chacham agree with me, just like Rav Meir agrees with me. And what would Ziri say? He would say the same thing. He doesn't want to just be like the Chacham. He would like to have Rav Meir on his side as well. Ziri would say, no, I'm not the Amri, I feel the Rav Meir. Certainly, I hold like the Chachamim, but I could even hold like Rav Meir, because I can't look on Rav Meir Hossam. Rav Meir said over there that we can't serve the principle as well as the ribbons, because Ela the Mishas Kisiva, the Ovid Lay. Now, I thought the next word should have been Shuma, an evaluation, but Rashi tells us, no, it's Suma. In Dibra Masa, Ovid Lay Suma, some Olav Neshach, the other below Sisimun Olav Neshach. So therefore, the proper way to read this is that Ziri would say that Rav Meir says in that situation, because he agreed to pay at that moment in time, Suma, he said, Lo Sizmun Ala Neshach, and he did do this. So therefore, in that situation, Rav Meir holds that we cancel you for the principle as well. Abu Hacha, in the case of the Tevin and the Kash, me am I the Mazik. Who says that the Tevin and Kash are definitely going to do damage? They may not. As opposed to the loan is actually over ribbis when you put it in. So the loan, the principal, Rav Meir would say you have to consider that as well. But here, the Tevin and Kash, Lav Davka, they're going to cause damage. And therefore, maybe Rav Meir would agree with me that only on the Shevach you give a Knas and not on the Tevin and the Kash itself. Mi Yemar Damasik. So therefore, Lav Davka, that this machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chacham in regards to the ribbis is the same machlokas in regards to Rav and Ziri for the Tevin and the Kash. So Gemara says, okay, but maybe Lemo Kehay Tanoim. Okay, maybe Rav and Ziri are in accord with the following Machlokas Tanoim. What is that? The Braisa tells us, Hamosi Tivin over Kash or Shusar Rabim Zvolim. We had this Braisa already several times. If you go bring your Tevin and Kash out to the Shusar Rabim in order to go and have it turned into this fertilizer, the Huzak Bohen Acher, and somebody slips on it and gets hurt, Chai Ben Isku, you have to go pay the damages. And it said, the Chol HaKol Ben Zocha, and whoever wants to go and take it could go and take it. But Vasur Mishum Gezel. But you're over Gezel. So obviously this is internally contradictory, and the Gemara will ask this in a second. But we can't understand this right now. It says, call a call and zocha. Whoever wants to take it can take it. But they're over it, it's your Gezel. That doesn't mean that you're allowed to take it. One comes over Shimon Gamliel, Omer, he says, call him a kalklim, b'shus harabim, hivziku. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that anybody that puts anything out there into the shus harabim, they can cause damage, and it damages. So, chayovi l'shalim. You obviously have to pay. And the caller called him Hem Zacha Umutarit Mishum Gezel. And here he says that you're allowed to go and take it, and there's no Isser of Gezel. So the Tanakama says that there's an Isser of Gezel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's no Isser of Gezel. We understand them. They're two different opinions. But how did the Tanakama say that caller called him Hem Zacha? Yet, Vasur Mishum Gezel. So Hagufa Kasha, it's internally contradictory. Amritz, first the Tanakama says, call a kol mem zocha. Whoever wants to go and take it can go and take it. But then it says, Vasur Mishum Gezel, that you're not allowed to take it. You're a chayv gneva. So how are you possibly going to understand the Tanakama? Ella, lav hochi kama. The only way to understand the Tanakama is as follows. V'chol kol mem zocha bishvachon. That the Tanakama says that anybody that went to take it does get the benefit. So it was worth $10 as tevin and kash, that's worth $20 as fertilizer. Oh, so you get to keep the extra $10. However, vasur mishum gezel agufon, but if you were to take the entire fertilizer now and not give $10, the original $10 to the original owner, then you chayev gezel for the principle. So this exactly sounds like Ze'iri, that you're only allowed to take the shevach, but you're not allowed to take the principle. So let us say that the Tanakama in this brisa holds like Ziri. And along comes the Shimon Gamliel, the son of Shimon Gamliel, Lememar, Nafil Gufa Nami, call a Kodem Mem Zocha. He says, no, there is no Gezel over here like Rav. Rav says that you're entitled to the Shevach and the principal. So let us say over here that this machlokis between the Tanakama and Shimon Gamliel exactly parallels the machlokis of Ziri and Rav. So you're right for Ziri. L'Ziri Vade Tanoyi. There is no way that Ziri can fit in with the Shita of Rishim Gamliel, because Rishim Gamliel says you'll have to take the entire principle, Kol Kol Mem Zocha and Mutar Mishum Gezel, and Ziri says no, you can't go take the principle. So Ziri definitely has to be in accord with the opinion of the Tanakama, and he argues with the opinion of Rishim Gamliel. But Rav says, don't lock me in again to being a Das Yochid. I don't want to be only with the Shita of Rishim Gamliel. I can even hold like the Tanakama, like the Chachamim. L'Rav, mi lema tanoi. Rav doesn't have to say it's a machlokas tanoim. Amalach Rav says, Dukuli Amma, in fact, Kansu Gufa Mishum Shvachman. Both the Tanakama and Rishim Gamliel say like me, that the rabbis instituted the Knas on the Tevin and Kash that were put out there on the principle as well as on the Shevach. No, v'hacha b'halacha v'ein marin ken komifligi. The machlokas over here between the Tanakama and Rishim Gamliel is on: are you allowed to publicly go and teach this halacha to other people? Halacha v'ein marin ken, or halacha v'morin ken? That is what they're arguing about. As Rashi says, Tanakama sovar halacha dekonsu gufon, but v'ein marin ken. Yes, the Tanakama also holds like Rav that the knas goes on the shevach as well as on the guf. But the Tanakhama says that we don't publicize this. The halacha is, in fact, that you get the principle as well as the shevach. However, the osi mireishul come on liam luche. If you come ask us, should you do this? I mean, lay asur mishum gezel. We would tell you not to go and do this. That's the understanding of the Tanakhama. And of course, Rav fits in very well with the Shimon Gamliel, who says, and it's not Gezel, so that fits in with a straightforward way, that Halacha is like this, and Morin Kain. And I'll show you that this is right, the Idma, because we said, Rifun Amar Rav, Halacha Vein Morin Kain. Ravad Rav Amar Halacha Morin Kain. Oh, this exact understanding that Rav would have of this Brisa, the Machlokes with the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel, is exactly stated out. The Rifuna Paskin's the name of Rav, that Halacha is the Ein Morin Kain, that you can't go and say it, and Ravad Rav says that Halacha is Umorin Kain. So, Rav, in fact, holds like the Tanakama in terms of Sak Halacha, Halacha the Ein Morin Kain, whereas Rav Ada Bar Ava says, I hold like Rishon Gamliel, Halacha the Morin Kain. More questions. This is really Ini? Is that true? Did Rav Huna really say the same of Rav? For Rav Huna, Afker Chushle, there's a Maisa Shoya, the Rav Huna had said that a person who was mafkir his chushle, Rashi says this is saorin klufin, this is peeled barley, sheshotach ish echa b'shusarabim, that an individual put out in the shusarabim, kidei sheyis yavshu, that it should become dried out, v'ifkiran Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, anybody could go and take it, v'horesh hakodim hem zocha, and here he publicly said, halacha v'morin kain. So how can you tell me that Rav Huna said the name of Rav, the halacha is ein morin kain? Here you see that Rav Huna was afkir chushle. This person that did this, he said, those peeled barley is now mutter for anybody to go take. In other words, the halacha is that you're allowed to go kansen because of the shevach, you can kansen the guv, and morin kain, and you can publicly declare it. And Rav Ada Bar Ava, the same thing, and he was afkir, we turn to Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, slikusta. Slikusta, Rashi tells us, is psole itzurei tvarim. This is like the pressed dates, the residue at the bottom. Sh'os v'em shechor, that they would turn into beer. Or alternative, lishnachrina, shamrei shechor tvarim. This is the dregs of the tvarim. Umenagvinos, and they would dry them off, ke'ein yayin, korish, to make it like into a freeze-dry type of a wine, a dried-out type of wine. Machil l'chamar, and they would give this food to their donkeys. Now, Rav Ada Bar Ava just told us a moment ago that, in fact, Morin Kain. So no problem. Here he publicly did this. He, in fact, made it hefker and said anybody could go take it because Morin Kain. But Rav Huna, El Rav Huna, Le Mohader Bay, did Rav Huna retract his opinion? He had said in the name of Rav that Halacha of Ein Morin Kain. So did Rav Huna now retract his position and say Halacha of Morin Kain? So he says, no, these people who had put out this peeled barley had done this multiple times and were causing lots of damage. So Rav Huna said, that's it, in this case, but not in general. In general, ein morin kain. But here, hanu mutarin havu. They were warned previously. They had been told, Rashi says, shehistru kam upon him bibalim. Hey, stop putting your peeled barley out there. Stop putting your peeled barley out there. You're hurting people. So Rav Huna finally said, enough is enough. And he said, we're going to paskin in this situation, halacha umorin kain, but only in this situation where they previously been given hasra, but in general, halacha the ein morin kain. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. This should be Shalom al Yisrael.